Going to be reading at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, starting with verse 44 through and including 52. This is found on the back of your worship leaflet today, if you'd like to also follow along that way. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net which was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into the vessels, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire. There men will weep and gnash their teeth. Have you understood all this? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. They say it's a true story, no matter how much like a fairy tale it may sound. A totally unexpected man literally stumbled upon the world's largest diamond, all 3,106 carats of it. And it happened in Premier Mine Number 2, not far from Pretoria, South Africa, in the year 1905. The man actually stubbed his toe on it. And thankfully, a few shiny particles glinted and caught his eye, and he picked it up to look at it. The amazing stone was then sent in an ordinary cardboard box to England. 105 stones were cut from this huge gem known as the Cullinan Diamond. Two of the largest stones it produced, the 530-carat Star of Africa and the 317-carat Cullinan II, are part of the British crown jewels. Treasure, fortune, the find of a lifetime. Nowadays, I suppose people dream about winning the lottery, in some states anyway. I shared a locker next door to the young man for 4 years, freshman through senior years of high school. This young man won one of the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes, and he's been doing nothing for the last 3 years other than traveling and buying stuff. I don't know, I might get a little bored with that after a while, but I'm happy for him. The banking and commerce industries weren't nearly as developed as they are today, but in Jesus' time, people dreamed of finding a treasure buried in a field. And there weren't any offshore banks in the Caribbean, no secret accounts in Switzerland in those days. Most people would literally actually go out in the middle of the night as quietly as they could and bury their valuables in the ground, hoping to safely hide them away. Now, sometimes they would dig right through the flooring of their own homes. Their own homes had tamped dirt flooring in them, and they would dig under that dirt and earth and bury them right there under their own roof. Coins and jewels and pearls buried this way wouldn't gain any interest, but they were, for that time, relatively safe and secure. Well, unfortunately, some people died before they could reclaim their treasures. Foreign invaders sometimes uprooted people before they could get at their buried loot. And once in a while, folks just plain forgot where they buried things. So small and large fortunes were occasionally found by people in the course of plowing or simply in digging up the earth. But can you imagine the market back then that would have been available for metal detectors? Treasures just waiting to be discovered. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like that. It is like treasure hidden in a field which someone stumbles upon, and the finder, that person, hides the loot again while he or she goes and tries to buy the whole field that it's in. In fact, it's worth so much that the buyer cashes in every cent, liquidates every asset to purchase that field. I heard an interesting definition of wealth the other day. You're wealthy if your annual income exceeds by $5,000 that of your brother-in-law. And Jesus emphasizes the point again when he adds the image of the pearl. Do you know John Harwell? He's a pastor in Donovan and Poplar Bluff. Yes, good. Just testing you. John Harwell was at a Cape Girardeau restaurant about 2 months ago, and he ordered oysters on the half shell. And about his third oyster on the half shell that he scooped up and rolled into his mouth, he bit down on something very hard, thought it was the shell of the oyster. He took it carefully out of his mouth, and there was a perfect little white pearl. And I'm going to have John rub my rabbit's foot. The image of the pearl, the kingdom is like this merchant in search of fine pearls. And in his search, he finds one of unsurpassed, incredible value. So he, too, sells everything he has to purchase that pearl. It's like buried treasure, the kingdom is. Like a pearl of great price is the kingdom of heaven. And let's see also that this treasure Christ describes is just waiting to be discovered. It isn't obvious for everybody. It's not standing out in the middle of the street ringing a bell. And yet it is very near, just waiting for somebody to lay hold of it. And I know you know that the kingdom does begin here and now. Yes, we certainly experience it much more fully in heaven, but it starts, thank heaven, in this life we're living now. The kingdom is real today and waiting for people to embrace it. In West Texas, there's a famous oil field known as the Yates, Y-A-T-E-S, the Yates Pool. And during the Depression years of the 1930s, this field was a sheep ranch owned by a man named Yates. Now, Mr. Yates was not able to make enough money on his sheep operation to even pay the interest on the mortgage, let alone the principal, and he was in danger of losing that ranch. With precious little money for clothes or food, his family, like many others, had to live on government assistance. And day after day, as the sheep grazed over those West Texas hills, he saw himself slipping farther and farther behind financially. Then a crew from a large oil company came into the area and told Mr. Yates that there might be oil on his land. They asked him for permission to drill a wildcat well, and he signed a lease. At a little more than 1,000 feet down, they struck an amazingly rich oil reserve, yielding 80,000 barrels a day. And in fact, years after the discovery, a government test on one of Yates's wells showed that it still could produce at least that amount every day. Now, Yates owned every square inch of it. He received the oil and mineral rights the day he bought it. How strange. He had been living on government relief, scratching and struggling for every nickel, a multimillionaire living in poverty. The problem, of course, was that he didn't know the oil was there. He owned it. Yes, he owned it, but he did not possess it. Christ says to us that the kingdom of God is something like that. You and I already have it within our grasp. It's there, it's here, waiting to be discovered and received. But spiritually speaking, too many people are living in poverty. They need faith in God, but they have not embraced it. They need faith in God. They need hope in the Lord, but they haven't tasted it. They deeply, deeply need the love and grace of God, but they haven't actually received it. There are so many shattered, hurting people in this world who would find so much of what they need if they would only turn to God, turn to Jesus Christ, and from the heart say yes to anything additional and new, life-wise, that God has in store for them, and be open as the Lord day by day gives and pours and indwells. Now, if my doorbell rang and I opened it to see someone standing there holding a huge check like the old TV commercials, I know what I'd do. I'd take it. If it's legitimate, I'd accept it. And I hope I'd be generous with it and tithe it. But Jesus says that everybody, each and every person who turns away from self-preoccupation to God-centeredness, then has received the kingdom. And according to Jesus, it is like winning the lottery. We're all sweepstakes winners when we have God's forgiveness and God's gracious love and God the Holy Spirit in our lives and hearts. And that is worth more than money could ever, ever buy. Now, when Jesus talked about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, those two terms are interchangeable. He was speaking about God's reign, R-E-I-G-N, as in a royal reign, God's reign in our hearts and minds. It starts first within us when we receive Christ into our minds and hearts. It has to do then with God working in and through you and me to be a blessing to others and to help share God's love in the world. Our mission statement, love God, love others, grow in Christ, serve the world. I didn't even cheat and look on my page. Love God, love others, grow in Christ, serve the world. It also has joy, J-O-Y, written all over it, and grace, and forgiveness, and thanksgiving, and hope, worth more than U.S. currency or even Russian currency could ever purchase. An incredible treasure just waiting to be discovered, just waiting to be tapped and utilized. One more thing today, the kingdom needs to be priority number one in people's lives. Numero uno. God's amazing grace through, you didn't know I knew Spanish, did you? God's amazing grace through Christ and love for God and others insists on being first in our hearts and minds. And we know it's impossible to be only a little bit married or only a tiny, tiny bit with child. There's no such thing, really. In other words, you and I can't take just a corner of it, cannot take just a dollar's worth, because the kingdom will claim and desires to claim all of who we are. Now, yes, we stumble and we fall on our faces. We make mistakes, we forget, we say and do foolish things. We're a long way from being perfect. But the good news is we do not have to be perfect or even deserving. We just need to be eager to make room inside of us for that magnificent gift of God. People discover this awesome treasure, set aside everything else in order to have it for themselves. The most important thing in the world being a part of the Heavenly Father's kingdom. And we do so well, dear ones, we do so well to make sure that it is ours. An Episcopal priest in Hudson, oh boy, should I tell you about the priest? Yeah, then I'll quit. An Episcopal priest in Hudson, Ohio, invested a big chunk of money in the stock market years ago. And every day thereafter, this priest would pore over the financial pages in the local paper, checking out how his monies were doing, constantly looking for even better investment opportunities. Now, keep in mind, he had never shown any interest in this until he placed something he valued there into the stock market, namely his money. Well, the priest eventually took things to extremes. One day, out of the blue, he invited a group of his fellow clergy to go with him to a Wendy's hamburger restaurant for lunch. And when they got there, he encouraged them to order as much as they wanted, but he scolded them for taking too many straws, napkins, and ketchup bottles, packets. And it wasn't until later when the others discovered that he had purchased stock in Wendy's, and he was encouraging everyone he knew to eat there, but don't overuse the extras. When we have no investment, we have no concern. When we have not invested part of who we are into something, then we'll think very little of it. I'm preaching to me too with these sermons. Be invested in God's kingdom. Pour your heart into the kingdom of the Lord. Share it with others. Live your life in its love and grace, and look forward to an eternal reward. In Jesus' name, amen.